Can you say this with me? I do not have an excuse. I think that's true, don't you? Yes, yes, yes. Before we receive our offering, I want to ask Ben Prittleman if he would come. Ben is a pastor here on staff who works with our teens. And I think every so often, though, you give because you should, you give because Scripture says, you tithe because God says that 10% is mine. I think every once in a while it's just a good thing to hear how the money goes and what's it used for. And so, Ben, this past Wednesday night, I think you were telling me earlier, something happening at service that I think is pretty unique. Would you share it with the crowd?
Yeah, absolutely. Every Wednesday night we have Fuel. That's our youth service for 7th to 12th grade. And, you know, we do take up tithes and offerings, and we teach on this, but tithes and offering for a teenager, like $4 is breaking the bank sometimes. So it helps when you guys give and makes real phenomenal ministry possible. But this January, kind of like we're in this unlimited series here to start the year off, we've been doing a series in Fuel called Silent Killers. And I just really felt the Lord saying that in the beginning of the year, he wanted to start by just addressing some stuff in this generation that I think a lot of people don't talk about, but it's very damaging. We talked about anxiety, shame, fear. And then last week was the final week. Wednesday was depression. And the coolest thing is I wasn't even teaching this week. Hannah Sanders actually was. She's one of my leaders. She's getting ready to graduate college and intern here at the church. And she did a phenomenal job speaking and really kind of gave such a good, safe description of depression and what the Lord wants to do with it. And anytime we talk about that with teens, we talk about suicide. We try and be really upfront. For that age group, it's the second leading cause of death, and it's a really big deal, and a lot of people just don't talk about it. So we try to. And so she got done with her message, and we always worship after the message and have some time to respond. And it was just a really good time, and the Lord was moving, and worship was great. And I got this word that the Lord was speaking to me, and he just said, hey, I just think you need to minister to people with this thing of suicide and these thoughts. And so I thought that was it. I went up on stage and said, look, you know, if you've ever had a suicidal thought, I just want you to raise your hands. People are going to come around you, and we're just going to pray. And it was a large portion of the room, and we prayed, and it was a great time. And so then we kept on worshiping. And as we kept worshiping the next song, I heard a little whisper. And I heard a whisper that said this was going to be somebody's last night. And it was crazy because as soon as I heard that whisper, I mean immediately, and much louder than the whisper, I heard, no, that's just your head. You're just making that up, trying to make a moment up. And I've learned that whenever that happens, you need to investigate it a little more, because I wonder how much we miss sometimes because we listen to the second whisper and not the first one. But I started just seeking the Lord and praying and worshiping, and I started pacing around, and I started just asking God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What do you want to say right now? And I started crying. Now, I cry sometimes. Every man does, whether they say so or not.
But you're not a crier.
But I'm not like a crier all the time. And I started like weeping, like really crying. Like it felt like this weight was on me, and I'm praying, and I'm like, God, what is this? Am I depressed? What's going on right now? And I just kept listening and kept praying. And it was crazy because I feel like the Lord let me feel the weight of what was going on in the room. And I had to fight for that thing and pray for it. And finally, I was like, all right, Lord, I'm gonna just follow whatever you're doing here. And I got up on stage and I said, guys, I don't know who this is, but I think somebody in here walked in here. This was your last night. Or maybe it wasn't that. Maybe you're just in a darker place than you've ever been. And this thing is so heavy. You feel all alone. You don't think the world needs you. Your family needs you. Your friends need you. And you're about to just throw in the towel. And I didn't know. I was just following the Lord. I said, does anybody feel like I'm talking to him? And y'all, out of a room of 90 or 100, 9 teens raised their hand. Almost a tenth of that room. And I did just like I am, and I was all choked up, and I couldn't get out. I said, all right, guys, come up to the front of the stage here. And without even having to say anything, as soon as they came up, the entire rest of the room, my teens and my leaders gathered around all of them and put their hands on their shoulders and hugged them and spoke some words of life. And I was able to stand there and look them in the eye. And one, pray for him and just minister God's love. But to break off the lies that say you're not worth it, to break off the things that say this world will be better off without you, and to replace that with purpose and with the hope that God has for him, and to tell him, look, God's got a plan for you. You think that this world could be better off without you, but the opposite is actually true. This world can't make it without you. And I got to stand there and minister what God wanted to do. And literally, I want you to catch this. It's not because of what I did. It's not because the music was great. It's not because my leaders are fantastic. All those things are true. But if you back way up, those kids would never have been there if it weren't for you guys giving every week. There wouldn't be a place for them. There wouldn't be a budget to keep the lights on. There wouldn't be a guitar to give the seventh grader who wants to be on the worship team that now is ministering worship to them. There wouldn't be those things. And there wouldn't have been an opportunity for, I literally believe, lives to be saved. Literally. Literally. So, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ben. Just a regular Wednesday night where the enemy had got his claws in some folks and gets in your head. You know how that works. And thoughts start going on. And next thing you know, you're down this pathway and you're going down it. And as you're going down it, it's like compound interest. The negativity stuff increases to finally reach a state of hopelessness. And all of a sudden, you just happen to wander into a service and God intervenes, breaks that stuff off of you, and you walk out of there a different person. Can anybody say yay, God, for that? That's just like him. It really is. That's what it's all about. So the guest service folks, come. Let's receive the offering. Let me pray over you. Father, thank you so much for establishing your church. In a world full of darkness, you said, I'll build my church. And I'd come into people's hearts and change them, and they would become my disciples. And together, the church now would own and accept the responsibility of being you on earth. You and us, doing what you did when you were here, ministering to people, caring for people, delivering people, and have your glory just to keep growing throughout the planet until it fills the whole earth. So I thank you for what you're doing here, and thank you for all your people who's involved, and ask you to bless them as they give. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you as you give. A lot of times people ask me, they said, Mike, how do you prepare? And I probably, the best way I could tell them in a simple way, how I prepare is, particularly like if I do a lesson like a series on Jabez, I start beforehand and I find usually several books. And so I'm reading books about him. I'm reading the scripture and finding all I can find the scripture says about him. And then I just kind of live in a place for a period of time before the series where I just walk with him and just live with them and just imagine. When I get up in the morning, oftentimes I'll go to where I have my chair and a cup of coffee, and I'll sit down. If I'm thinking about Jabez, I would think, what's it like for him to wake up in the morning? I think about the surroundings where he is, the Judean hills, kind of in my imagination go there. Then I start going to parts of the story as I just kind of live with him for a while and imagine him going out and taking care of the sheep. Imagine what it was like, particularly in his case, when he carried the burden of his name meaning pain. Jabez means pain. And so I just wonder what that's like. And I then identify usually with me with some of the stuff that I've carried that, you know, the Lord has really helped with. But I remember the day when it was heavy. The labels, the failures, and kind of identifying with him. As I'm doing that, I'm taking notes and I'm just developing and letting the Holy Spirit speak to me. And then as I go through the story, with all the pain, and he was born in a certain strata, and no one ever expected him to rise above where he was. And then I imagine in my imagination what the day was like when he decided to pray a prayer. When he decided to somehow to invite God into his present circumstances. Was he walking down a path? Was he leading the sheep all of a sudden and courage arose in his heart, and he says, I think I'm going to pray a prayer. Or maybe he knelt and took some stones and kind of built himself an altar. I can see him kneeling, feeling all the shame and all the stuff, but praying out in the middle of what he felt, in the middle of what his circumstances was, going beyond that faith, reaching out and saying, oh God, would you bless me? Anyway, I could go on. But instead of me doing that and then giving you what I got, wouldn't it be better if we could just actually have Jabez to be here? Well, we've pulled some strings, rearranged some things, and had favor. And I want to announce to you that we have Jabez here in the building with us. So, ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome Jabez right out of Chronicles? Give him a hand, would you?
Good morning, good morning. So, your rabbi, he tells me you've been talking about me. Well, I'm not surprised. I am, after all, the great and mighty Jabez. Oh, I assure you, my friend, there's nothing great and mighty about me. There is, however, something very great and mighty about our God. So, what is it you would like to know? No, no, don't tell me. It's coming to me now. Why did your mother name you Jabez? I'm kidding, of course. Nothing's coming to me. Everybody wants to know the answer to that question. I mean, there's so many more things you could ask me. Jabez, how's your work? Jabez, how's your family? Jabez, how are your finances? Never ask a Jewish man about his finances. I'm kidding. Not really, but okay. Let me first of all tell you how shocked I was to learn that my humble prayer, which in all actuality was a cry of desperation, was recorded in the Word of God. My friends, I assure you, there's nothing quite so honorable about me. My brothers, yes, I know it says I was more honorable than my brothers. But my friends, before you put any stock in that, consider the measuring stick, okay? Not much there. A working ox would be more honorable than they. They weren't terrible. They were just like everybody else. And we weren't supposed to be like everybody else. There was supposed to be a distinct difference between those who followed the God of Israel and those who did not. But there was none. Many mornings I'd walk the hillsides and I would wonder, what happened? We were God's chosen people, chosen to carry the very presence of God. But nobody was following God. Nobody cared about God's word. Nobody was worried about the presence of God. They were all just busy. Busy with their politics and their power and their possessions and their prestige and their pride. Oy. Nobody cared about the presence of God. And my friends, when you lose sight of the presence of God, darkness becomes your guide. Nothing good comes from the darkness. I know. I was born from it. And my mother, well, she gave me the name that reminded me of that every time it was spoken. Wake up, causer of pain. Fetch me water, causer of pain. Tend to the sheep, causer of pain. There's nothing more destructive than the words we speak out of our mouth. I want to show you something. In God's word, you look like a sharp lot. I'm sure you'll catch on fairly quickly. I'm going to go to the very book where my prayer is. I want to read just the beginning of a few verses. I want you to see if you recognize a pattern. The descendants of Judah. Rei, son of Shobal. The sons of Etham, the descendants of Hur, Ashur, the father, Nerah gave birth to him, the sons of Halah, Jabez. Who is my father? I don't know. I don't even think my mother knew. What was her name? Well, if God didn't mention it, I don't think that I will either. I knew from a very young age I didn't belong. There was no place for me at the table. I ate with the dogs. My mother and my brothers were very cruel to me. And one day, I was tending to the sheep on the hillside, and this old man with kind eyes was walking by. And it must have seemed strange to him, such a young lad tending the sheep, because he stopped and he asked me, "Where's your father?" "I have no father," I told him. He said, "Well, then who is helping you tend to these sheep?" "I don't need any help tending to the sheep. I can do it myself." And then he asked me my name. And like I always did when someone asked me my name, I hung my head in shame. And I said, "Jabez." And I waited for his feet to walk away, because that's what always happened when I said my name. The feet always walked away. But his stayed. And I slowly lifted my head, and I saw something I had never seen before. There were tears running down his face. He was sad for me. And he got down on his knees and he wrapped his arms around me and embraced me. I had never felt an embrace. And then he stood up and he said, "Come with me, son." My knees, they began to get weak, and I looked, I said, "What did you call me?" And he got down on a knee in front of me, and he looked deep into my eyes, and he said, "I called you son, and you will call me father." And he stood back up. He said, "Now come with me, son." And I did. He was a wealthy man, but he had no children. So he took me in and raised me as his own. My name was never spoken from his lips. He always called me son. My mother and my brother, they never came looking for me, and I was glad, because I knew this was where I belonged. I'll never forget the first night sitting at the table and eating a meal. There was a place for me. And then he led me to a room with a bed, and he said something to me I'd never heard before. "This belongs to you." He was the one who taught me about God. Every morning we would wake up, and we would go outside, and we would worship God. We would dedicate every day to God. Sometimes we would sing. Sometimes he would tell me stories. Sometimes we would pray. But every day was dedicated to God. He would tell me the stories of the mighty man Moses, the miracles that he worked, and how he delivered our people from the hands of the Egyptians. But he was always careful to remind me, Moses was the giver of the law, but Abraham was the father of our faith. And he taught me about the blessings of God. He taught me about the promises of God to Abraham, of how faithful God was to Abraham. Even when Abraham wasn't so faithful, God was always faithful. And it's that faithfulness that brings me to this part of my story, the prayer. I would love to tell you, my friends, that prayer was born out of great joy. But it was quite the opposite. It was about 10 years after he took me in and I woke up one morning on my own. You see, every morning I woke to his voice. Wake up, son. It's time to get up, son. But this morning, there was no voice. So I walked to the door of his room, and he was still in his bed. And I didn't want to know, but I had to know. So I walked up to him and I put my hand on his chest. And I realized that he was gone. And immediately I could feel the darkness closing in around me. I ran outside and it was breaking dawn, but all I could feel was the darkness. It was closing in around me because it was he who kept the darkness at bay. He worshiped God. He carried the presence of God. And I heard my mother's voice call my name, Jabez. No, no, that is not who I am, Jabez. I said, no, God, no. And I fell to my knees. I said, why, God? Why would you do this to me? Why would you bring me this far to leave me all alone? God, please. Bless me. Bless me with Abraham's blessing. Father, let me have your presence. God, keep your hand on me and be with me. Let your kingdom come. God, keep this evil from me. And there on my knees, in that moment, incredible peace came over me. And then I heard it again. But this time it was different. Jabez. I had never heard my name spoken with so much love. It was God. And when he spoke my name, the meaning changed. Because now, instead of despair, I felt hope. And instead of shame, I felt worth. And from that moment on, my name became my testimony. I would go around and I would find others and I would tell them about the goodness of God. And many of them became my disciples and I became their teacher. And together, the presence of God began to grow. I watched it happen, one person at a time, and then one family at a time. And soon I was walking the hillsides where once there was so much darkness and now there was light. The kingdom of God was coming. God's people were once again beginning to carry the presence of God. But I was still alone. There was one morning in particular, some years later, that I woke up with just an aching in my heart. Not because I didn't know God, but because I was alone. And I went outside like I did every day, and I lifted my hands to worship God. And when I did, I heard him say, it's time to go home. Go home. God, I cannot go home. It's too soon for me to go home. There's still more people to hear about your goodness. There's still more of your presence that needs to come. I can't go to heaven now. He said it again. It's time to go home. And when I heard it, I knew the home he was talking about. That home. That place of darkness. And little Jabez, he rose up on the inside of me and said, no, I will not go. It only lasted for a moment. My friends, when the presence of God goes down into your soul, sooner or later, it opens that door where you don't want anyone to go. And I knew I had to obey. So I began to walk home. It wasn't that far away, only 3 hillsides away. But every step was like walking through mud. And with every step, my anger grew. The darkness that I never knew was in my heart was rising up to the top. And the closer I got, the more angry I got. Until I reached the top of the hill. And I looked down, and there was my old house, run down, in disrepair. The property was scorched and barren. I could see one of my brothers up on the hill with the sheep, and the flock had become so small. And in that moment, my heart began to feel what God felt. And I knew God had been blessing me. God had been working in me. God had been giving me his presence. And now he wanted me to go so that he could redeem that darkness. And I walked up to the door and I knocked. And I waited and I held my breath. And I felt like a little kid. And then my mother opened the door. And before I could say a word, she turned and she ran back into the house. And she flung herself on her bed and she covered her face in shame and began to cry. And I didn't know what to do. I followed her in and I knelt beside her bed and I simply put my hand on her shoulder. And after a few moments, I just said, I forgive you. When the crying finally stopped, she looked at me and she said something to me as profound as anything God ever said. She said, I'm so proud of you. She said, you didn't know it, but on the very first day when you disappeared, I followed and I saw where you went and I knew the old man that had taken you in, how good he was and that he loved God. And I watched and I would go to the hillside every morning as you and he would come out and worship God. And my heart was so proud and I was so ashamed of what I had done. All that time, God was reaching out to her. And I took her by the hand. And I said, come with me, mother. And she did. And we got my brothers, and they came along too. And I took them to my place. And I'll never forget that first night sitting at the table, eating a meal together. I said, God has blessed me with so much, and what I have is now yours. But my mother, being the typical Jewish woman, she says, I don't want what you have. I want my own. That's my place. This is your place. I want my place. I said, okay, but I shall bless you. So I sent my men to work on her house. I sent my workers to work in her fields, to tend to their sheep. And we did bless them, friends. Their land became fertile. Their house became new. And now we would get together every Sabbath to share in the Sabbath meal and worship God as a family once again. See, God doesn't bless us just for us. He blesses us to be a blessing to others. But of course, why am I telling you this? You know this already. Because you have the Messiah. Oh, yes, I know about the Messiah. I know that I left before he came, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We have movie screens in heaven. Yes. And I promise you, when the Messiah was walking around on the earth, we all gathered around to watch how he lived his life, how this man carried the very presence of God and would give it away to those that were hurting, to those who were in need, to those who were living in the darkness. And the more God blessed him, the more he gave away. My favorite moment in watching his life was at the end of his life, when he was having the last meal with the disciples, and suddenly he got a revelation, and the revelation that the time had come, and now he was going to go back to be with the Father, and the Father was going to give him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In that moment of great revelation, he stood up and he walked over to a corner of the room and he took off his outer garment and wrapped a towel around his waist. And one by one, he went to each disciple. He washed their feet. I can tell you, in heaven, there was a gasp. We gasped. What was he doing? The disciples didn't say a word.
Except for Peter, of course. He had something to say.
But when Jesus was finished, he walked back to his place. And he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. So if I, your teacher and your Lord, have washed your feet, now should you not wash one another's feet? Because no slave is greater than his master, and no student greater than the teacher. Happy will you be, blessed will you be, if you put this into practice." My friends, there is darkness all around us. But just like where I lived in the days of old, now you live here, you, Cathedral. God has called you to carry the presence of God. And you can all have the presence of God because of what Christ has done. But God doesn't think the way the world thinks. His ways are not our ways. The Son of God came not to be served, but to serve. In his ultimate act of obedience, to die on the cross for us. I want to ask you to close your eyes. See, with your eyes closed, now it's just you and me. God works in mysterious ways. And I just believe that in this time of me sharing my stories, that God has been working in your heart. And if you're here, then you know that there's someone you need to forgive. Would you just raise your hand so I can see? What a wonderful God we serve. Wonderful Jesus. You can put your hands down. If you're here and you know God and you've had a relationship with God, but you walked away and you know now it's time to come home, would you raise your hand and let me see? Oh, so many hands. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You can put them down. Your eyes still closed. If you're here and you've never experienced a relationship with God, and you now hear the voice of God telling you, it's time to come home. Would you lift your hand? Thank you. It's time to come home. Yes. It's time. But first, we're going to sing a song. And when we sing this song, those who need to forgive, you're going to find the strength to forgive. Those of you that need to go back to God, you're going to find the strength to go back to God. And for those of you who say, I need to know Him for the first time, you're going to find the courage to pray that prayer with your rabbi. Because you, my friends, are about to be blessed with the presence of God. Because you know God says, He inhabits the praises of His people. You have a wonderful praising people up here. I know every Sunday morning, all the praises of churches all around the world, they go up to heaven and we hear it as a beautiful sound. Just between me and you, I turn your church up a little bit. Yeah, they're good. They're very good. So as they sing this song, my friends, I pray that God would bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and bless you with His presence and bless you with the awareness that you now, just like I, are an ambassador of the presence of God. And God wants to bless you so that you now can bless others. Amen.
Now, for those of you who said, today is the day I need to open my heart and receive Christ, we're going to pray a prayer. The whole congregation is going to pray it. But it's your prayer coming from your heart. And we're saying that Jesus is the most powerful name. What's about to happen is He's about to give you a brand new heart. The old is getting ready to pass away. And behold, all things are going to become new. You're going to be born again. Every sin, every deed, every word can be cast into a sea of forgetfulness. And you can walk out of this building as a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Okay? So let's pray together. God Almighty, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He lived and died here on earth. And He died for me. I ask Him to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me. Wash me. Give me a brand new heart. Make me a brand new person according to your word. And from today on, with your help and your strength, I will serve you unto the end of my life. Amen and amen. Welcome home, all of you who prayed that prayer. Don't you just love coming to church here where you never know what you're going to expect, huh? Yeah. Okay, let me just say two things as we close. One is, again, the growth track for starts next Sunday. And so it's right over at the Parsonage, right, they call it the Windsor House, right next to here. And so we encourage you to start that process. It's just going to be ongoing. And so go online, sign up. And lastly, this Tuesday night you don't want to miss. Because we're believing that this thing that God's stirring for the first of this year is prophetic. How many of you hear God saying something about this year? But it needs to keep happening to you. It needs to be pressed down in your spirit. And so if you're single, come, because we're going to pray over singles on Tuesday night. If you're a couple, come. We're going to pray over marriages for this year. We're going to pray over finances. We're going to worship together. We're going to start at 7, be through at 8. But we're going to pray and worship together. And really believe God for this year. How many of you are believing for good things this year? You with me? Good. So for those of you who accepted Christ today, I'm going to go out and I'll be right over at the this end of it over here to the left of the foyer down there, the hub. And so stop by and say hello, okay, for those of you who received Christ today. Lord bless you and Lord keep you. Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And I bless you, my friends, with the words, the vibrations that came from God himself that you've heard in this series. His word as to the truth that he wants to bless you. The truth that you have destiny. The truth that he wants to enlarge your territory. The truth that God himself wants to have his hand rest and stay on you. The truth is God wants good things for you and not to cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.